This is VOA News. I'm Michael Brown. Ukraine's president swept through Washington today to shore up support for the first fight, the fight that is against Russia. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports.
It began on Capitol Hill, where Texas Republican Michael McCaul says Volodymyr Zelensky gave an upbeat message.
That he's winning.
But top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer says Zelensky also made clear he needs more military help.
Mr. Zelensky said, if we don't get the aid, we will lose the war.
Not all Republicans, though, are on board, with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy saying he and others have questions about the path forward, which Zelensky answered.
I thought it was direct. I thought it was honest.
From there, it was on to the Pentagon.
It's an honor to welcome back to the White House and the Oval Office.
And a meeting with President Biden.
The American people are determined to see to it that you do all we can to ensure the world stands with you.
We greatly appreciate the vital assistance provided by the United States.
Zelensky said their talks would focus on more air defenses against a Russian onslaught. Sagar Magani, Washington.
A Russian attack on a town west of Donetsk, close to Ukraine's eastern front, injured 13 people, a local official said early Friday in Ukraine. On Thursday, the Ukrainian military said its forces had hit a Russian air base in Crimea, which a Russian-installed official on the annexed peninsula disputed. The United States is reporting a significant rise in unauthorized border crossing at its border with Mexico, particularly in areas like Eagle Pass, Texas, where the mayor issued a state of emergency. The U.S. plans to send more enforcement at the border, including additional military personnel on top of the 2,500 state National Guards members to support border officers on the ground. For more news, join us at voanews.com. This is VOA News. A U.S. contractor originally from Ethiopia has been arrested on espionage charges. We get more from AP correspondent Norman Hall.
The Justice Department says a government contractor is accused of providing a foreign country classified information that he downloaded and printed from his work computer system. Abraham Teklu Lema, who is originally from Ethiopia, had a top secret security clearance and access to classified information through contracting positions with the Departments of State and Justice. He is accused of using an encrypted messaging application to transmit maps, photographs, and satellite imagery to the foreign government. Court papers do not identify the country Lim is accused of spying for, but the documents do refer to travel back and forth over the past year and a half to a country where he has family ties. Norman Hall, Washington.
India has suspended visa services for Canadian citizens as a rift between the two countries widens. We get more from the AP's Karen Chamas.
The rise in tensions come after Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau this week said India may have been involved in the killing of a Canadian citizen. Trudeau believes India was involved in the assassination of Sikh separatist Hardeep Singh Nijjar, who had been wanted by India for years. Indian External Affairs Ministry spokesperson Arindam Bagshi confirmed a temporary suspension of all visa services for Canadians.
Accordingly, our High Commission and consulates are temporarily unable to process visa applications.
The suspension means that Canadians who don't already have visas will not be able to travel to India until services resume. I'm Karen Chamas.
Police say the owners of a New York City daycare center where one toddler died and three others were sickened by opioid exposure last week were hiding bags of fentanyl concealed by plywood and tile flooring. The AP's Lisa Dwyer reports.
Photos shared by investigators show bags full of powder just a few steps away from a shelf of children's toys. Police have arrested the daycare center's operator and a tenant who lived in the apartment, saying they operated a drug ring. They were charged with murder of depraved indifference in the toddler's death. Before alerting first responders, the daycare center's operator called her husband instead of calling authorities for help. The husband was seen on surveillance footage entering the building moments later, then leaving through a back alley with multiple shopping bags. Police are still searching for the husband. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Rudolph Murdoch stepping down as the head of Fox Parent Company and his News Corp Media Holdings, Fox announcing on Thursday. His son, Lachlan, will become News Corp's chairman and continue as chief executive officer of Fox Corporation. For more news, please join us at voanews.com. I'm Michael Brown, VOA News.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Barkley, Washington. Today is Friday, September 22nd, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Kenya President Ruto asked the UN to ensure Haiti's security.
We urge the United Nations to urgently deliver an appropriate framework to facilitate the deployment of multinational security support as part of a holistic response to Haiti's challenges.
Zimbabwe President Mnangagwa has again called for an end to Western sanctions on his country. The Liberian Elections Commission lacks sufficient funding for the October vote. Protesters greet Guinea's military leader as he defends his coup.
Coups d'etat have multiplied in Africa in recent years because there are deep-rooted reasons for this. And to remedy the problem, we must look at these root causes.
And tomorrow, Saturday, Kenya marks 10 years since the Westgate Mall attack by terrorists. Those stories plus Samson O'Malley Sports are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Kenyan President William Ruto has called on the United Nations to deliver what he calls an appropriate framework to facilitate the deployment of a multinational security support as part of a global response to Haiti's challenges. In August, Ruto pledged to deploy a contingent of 1,000 police officers to help train and assist Haitian police restore normalcy in the country. Speaking Thursday at the 78th UN General Assembly, Ruto touted Kenya's role in peace building and peacekeeping and said the world should not leave Haiti behind.
Kenya stands in solidarity with all humanity without regard to region, border, or hemisphere. This is why and how we see the people of the Republic of Haiti, who are suffering immensely from the bitter legacy of slavery, colonialism, sabotage, and neglect. As a nation which was forced to wage a painful struggle for our own independence and sovereignty, Kenya empathizes very deeply with the humiliation of a proud people in Haiti and the price they have had to pay for their hunger for liberty, for their thirst for freedom. Haiti is the ultimate test of international solidarity and collective action. The international community has failed this test so far, and thus let down a people very, very badly. Haiti deserves better from the world. The cry of our brothers and sisters, who were the first people to win their struggle for freedom from colonial tyranny, has reached our ears and touched our hearts. Doing nothing in the face of the historic isolation, neglect, and betrayal of the people of Haiti is out of question. Inaction is no longer an option. As we mobilize to show up for Ukraine and countries that have experienced the devastating impact of climate shocks, including Libya, Morocco, and Hawaii, we must not leave Haiti behind. We must commit to show up in the spirit of solidarity to support a people regain their political and socio-economic footing by reinforcing the underlying enabler that is security. Kenya is ready to play its part in full and join with a coalition of other nations of goodwill, and there are many, as a great friend and true sibling of Haiti. We urge the United Nations to urgently deliver an appropriate framework to facilitate the deployment of multinational security support as part of a holistic response to Haiti's challenges. We call on the Security Council to contribute positively by approving a resolution under Chapter 7 that tailors the security support mission to the specific needs of Haiti and its people. This should be part of a comprehensive strategy that includes delivering humanitarian aid, supporting livelihoods, instituting reforms, and fostering a political process guided and owned by Haitians, all in the aim of enabling free and fair elections within a reasonable time frame.
Kenyan President William Ruto spoke Thursday at the ongoing 78th UN General Assembly in New York City. Zimbabwe President Emmerson Mnangagwa has again called for the removal of what he calls unjust, illegal, and unilateral sanctions on his country. The U.S. imposed sanctions in 2001 under the Zimbabwe Democracy and Economic Recovery Act, following that country's land reform program in 2000, and because of government-sponsored violence on democratic practices and human rights abuses. Speaking Thursday to the 78th session of the UN General Assembly in New York, President Mnangagwa said Zimbabweans have become masters of their own destiny despite the sanctions. He also said Zimbabwe continues to entrench democracy, although the country's August 23 election has been widely criticized.
Zimbabwe continues to entrench democracy, constitutionalism, good governance, and the rule of law following the recently held 2023 harmonized general elections. I am pleased to highlight that our country enjoyed peace during and after our free, fair, transparent, and credible elections. Zimbabwe has been under the illegal unilateral economic sanctions for 23 years, imposed by some Western countries. These sanctions were designed to subjugate the sovereign will of the Zimbabwean people. We therefore demand that the unilateral sanctions be unconditionally lifted, including those imposed on countries like Cuba. We remain grateful for the support and solidarity of progressive countries in the Committee of Nations. In spite of these debilitating sanctions, the people of Zimbabwe have become masters of their destiny. This is anchored on a philosophy that, as a people, we have the duty and the responsibility of developing our country using our own domestic resources. Partners and investors are welcome, but guided by our own vision and national priority areas.
Zimbabwe President Emmerson Mnangagwa speaking Thursday to the 78th session of the UN General Assembly in New York. Guinea's military leader, General Mamadi Doumbouya, has defended his rise to power in what he calls the recent epidemic of coups in West Africa, speaking Thursday through an interpreter at the ongoing 78th UN General Assembly in New York. Doumbouya blamed recent coups in West Africa on political leaders who, he says, changed constitutions to remain in power without concern for the well-being of their citizens. As Doumbouya spoke, members of the Guinean diaspora protested outside the UN to demand a transition timetable. Doumbouya says the junta is neither pro-West nor East, but rather they seized power to promote the welfare of Guineans.
Following the COVID-19 pandemic, the continent has been hit by an epidemic of military putches, particularly in the French-speaking countries south of the Sahara. Everyone condemns them, sanctions them, is disturbed by the sudden resurgence of this phenomenon that we had thought was a thing of the past, and rightly so. But what I wish to say is that the international community must have the honesty and the rectitude to not content itself simply with denouncing the consequences. Rather, it must look to and address the causes. Coups d'etat have multiplied in Africa in recent years because there are deep-rooted reasons for this. And to remedy the problem, ladies and gentlemen, we must look at these root causes. The putschist is not only the person who takes up arms to overthrow a regime. I want us all to be well aware of the fact that the real putschists, the most numerous, and those who avoid any condemnation are also those who plot and scheme, who use trickery, who cheat to manipulate the text of the Constitution in order to stay in power eternally. It is those in white-collar jobs who change the rules of the game as the game unfolds in order to keep the reins of power in their hands. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, I am one of those who one day decided to shoulder our responsibility to prevent our country from slipping into complete chaos, into an insurrection. The institutional correction for which my brothers and I took responsibility on September 5th, 2021, was only a consequence of that chaotic situation, which had ended up tearing apart the social fabric of my country and undermining our coexistence. This is not an exhaustive list, but we believe that the transitions underway in Africa are due to several factors, including broken promises, the lethargy of the people, and leaders tampering with constitutions with the sole concern of remaining in power to the detriment of collective well-being. Today, the African people are more awake than ever and more than ever determined to take their destiny into their own hands.
Guinea's military leader, Mamadi Doumbouya, speaking Thursday through an interpreter at the ongoing 78th UN General Assembly in New York. Protesters greeted Guinea's military leader, Colonel Mamadou Doumbouya, as he addressed the 78th United Nations General Assembly on Thursday in New York. Members of the group, the National Front for the Defense of the Constitution, FNDC, want the military to return Guinea to democratic rule. Alpha Freya Barry is a founding member of the FNDC. He tells me that the group is frustrated with the way that the junta is handling the transition.
Yo, we are protesting here. You hear the people?
Yes, I hear. Why are you protesting?
We are protesting to express our frustration and decision about how the country is handling by the junta. As you know, actually, is the UN General Assembly in New York City. You have all the president, all the big people in New York City, and all of them are in the United Nations. We came here to express our frustration about the country, how the new junta are handling the situation, and asking the whole world to help us to organize the election and give the power to the civilian.
Did you hear General Doumbouya? He spoke to the United Nations and he justified why the coup took place, that the coup took place to redeem the people of Guinea.
No, but that justification is not the reality, because we all know that the message he sent to all the world, especially the Guinean people, on September 5th, 2021, was a message in which he gave hope and promised a lot of things. And nowadays, it's been like 2 years now, those things are not happening in our country. That's why if you look around the country, every day you have protests all around the country and even in the diaspora.
Alpha Freya Barre is the founding member of the National Front for the Defense of the Constitution, FNDC. He was speaking with us from New York City. You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Botti in Washington. Today is Friday, September 22nd. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And still to come on our program, Samson O'Malley Sports. The National Elections Commission of Liberia says it does not have enough funding to conduct the presidential and legislative polls scheduled for October 10. Denise Nipsey has more from Monrovia.
President George Weah says his government has taken all necessary measures to ensure that the October 10 presidential elections will be free, fair, transparent, peaceful, inclusive, and credible. Addressing the 78th UN General Assembly, Weah said his government has strengthened the National Elections Commission to ensure it operates without due influence.
The October 10 election is an opportunity to sustain the gains made in our reconstruction and development processes. The government of Liberia has taken all necessary measures to ensure a free, fair, transparent, peaceful, inclusive, and credible elections. The National Election Commission has been strengthened to ensure that it operates without undue influence.
However, National Elections Commission Chairperson Divietta Brown-Lassana told a news conference on Thursday that the commission has not been fully funded.
We are yet to receive the balance 3.2 plus million We're working on it with the Ministry of Finance and Development Planning.
Augustine Tama, the head of Secretariat of the Liberia Elections Observation Network, said the disclosure is concerning.
We are moving towards this national election for barely 19 more days. If the commission is reporting that the government has not been able to provide 3+ million, that speaks a lot to the operationalization of the commission's activities. And this is actually worrisome coming at this very dying minute to the election. One would have thought that by now the government have provided all of the needed resources to the National Election Commission. So we are encouraging the government to do everything in its power to provide the needed support.
Tama said insufficient funding of the 2020 special election caused problems for the commission, and he hopes similar mistakes will not be repeated. For VOA's Daybreak Africa, I'm Denise Nepsi in Monrovia, Liberia.
Kenya is marking 10 years since a group of Al-Shabaab militants based in Somalia attacked a major shopping mall in Nairobi, killing more than 60 people. While terror threats in the capital have since decreased, the group continues to perpetrate attacks along Kenya's coast and in the country's northeastern region. Mohammed Yusuf reports.
One Saturday in 2013, four armed men from the Al-Shabaab terror group stormed Westgate Mall, attacking shoppers and killing anyone on site. The attack was followed by a siege, wherein the attackers engaged security forces in a gun battle for days. In the end, 67 people were killed and more than 150 were injured. 36-year-old John Wangombe works as an IT expert and was among the hundreds trapped in the mall that day. The father of three says he's happy to be alive.
Yeah, now things changed. I think by that time I was single, now I'm married, 18. So I would say thanks God that he gave me another chance to live. I would say the country is a bit secure because we don't have Al-Shabaab attacks at the moment in our city. So I would say the security is now better compared to that time.
Kenyan security forces were criticized for how they handled the attack and for lack of coordination in dealing with the militants. Richard Tuta, a Nairobi-based security analyst, says the mall attack has changed how Kenyan security forces deal with terror threats and attacks.
It has even shaped how our security agencies are structured currently. If you look at how our security agencies were structured before and after, a lot have changed. Secondly, now we have a well. The country now has a well-trained, well-equipped, well-structured anti-terror police unit that it's fused with the intelligence component within it, unlike before.
In October 2020, a Kenyan court found two men guilty for their roles in the deadly 2013 mall attack. Convicted of conspiring with and aiding the attackers, the men were sentenced to prison. But the security improvements and some court convictions have yet to heal the hundreds who survived and lost family and friends. In 2015, the mall reopened for shopping. Wangombe has since visited the mall, but bad memories prevent him from returning.
I would say the security was a bit better. You could see the security guys who look experienced. But even with that security, there's that fear that you have it can happen again. And I remember where we were hiding. I remember that building where I used to work. If I go there, it will bring just bad memories of what happened to us.
A heightened security presence in the capital has reduced the number of attacks. But Al-Shabaab continues to carry out frequent attacks in northeastern and coastal regions. Tuta says eradicating terrorism is no easy task.
Terrorism is something that it's there to stay. It's there to stay. It's not something that one country can boast of that it has done away with it. Actually, what it can do is to transform itself in terms of operations and in terms of selections of targets and in terms of how they undertake it, but it will be there for a while, because remember, this is an ideology.
Al-Shabaab has vowed to wage war against Kenya until Kenya troops are withdrawn from the country, where they were deployed in 2011. Mohamed Yusuf for VA News, Nairobi.
Sudan's Army Chief General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan appealed to the international community to counter sponsors of the Army's rival Rapid Support Forces, the RSF. He made the appeal in his address to the United Nations General Assembly on Thursday. More than 5 million people have been made homeless and thousands of civilians have been killed in a war that broke out over plans to formally integrate the RSF into the army as part of a political transition. It's time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Friday morning to you, Samson.
Good Friday morning to you too, James. We begin the sports with the latest FIFA rankings released on Thursday. Guinea-Bissau made the biggest improvement in the rankings, moving up 6 places to position 106. Morocco moved 2 places up to position 13 in the world, remaining the leading African nation in the rankings, while reigning African champions Senegal dropped 2 places from position 18, but occupies the second position on the continent. Tunisia is the third in Africa and now ranks amongst the top 30 in the world after moving up to position 29. Algeria is 4th in Africa but 34 in the world, while Egypt occupies the 5th spot to wrap up the top 5 on the African continent. Staying with African football, ahead of the draws for the 2023 African Cup of Nations in Ivory Coast, the Confederation of African Football has released the pots for the draw. According to the pot released on Thursday, host Ivory Coast and African top-ranked team Morocco were placed in the pot 1. African champions Teranga Lions of Senegal, Tunisia, Algeria and Egypt completed the team in the pot 1. Nigeria dropped to pot 2 alongside Cameroon, Mali, DR Congo, Burkina Faso and Ghana. The draw is slated to be held on October 12, 2023. In rugby news, Ireland and South Africa, the two best-ranked teams in the world, will face off at the weekend in the Rugby World Cup in France. Both teams maintained their unbeaten records in the second round of World Cup fixtures, with Ireland putting just shy of 60 points past Tonga before South Africa beat Romania 76-0. The gaze of both squads will be fixed on winning the tournament, and a success for either will likely ensure an easier quarter-final clash, although with likely Pool A qualifiers France and New Zealand lying in wait, the advantage will hardly be a big one. Head coach of the South Africa Springbok side is Jack Nyamba.
If you look at the island team and you look at the consistency in performances, there hasn't been a lot of weaknesses over the last couple of months. So we expect a proper test match.
In handball news, the semi-final for the Africa Women's Youth Handball Championship has been decided. Nigeria will play Egypt, who defeated Algeria 30-18 points in the quarterfinals on Friday at 4 p.m. Angola will play Guinea in the second semi-final. In athletics, banned New Zealand Olympic runner Zane Robertson has been arrested in Kenya over allegations of sexual assault and possession of an unlicensed AK-47 assault rifle found at his home in the East African nation. Robertson was arrested on Wednesday at his home in the town of Etienne in western Kenya, one of the world's most famous training bases for long-distance runners. And that's it for this Friday's edition of Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a nice weekend. And that's it for this Friday, September 22nd edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending your week with us. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I am James Botti in Washington, wishing that you will have a great weekend. We'll see you again on Monday morning.
Around the clock, the Voice of America keeps you in touch with the latest news.
Tune in at the top of every hour, every day of the week.
For the 5-Minute VOA Newscast.
We bring you reports from our correspondents and interviews with newsmakers from around the globe.
Give us 5 minutes and we'll give you the world.
VOA, your trusted source for news and information.